Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It girls, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch girl. Make your move your hips while sipping gin girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your womb. Hanestine squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune in, chill out, and feel good inside. Like it girls.
Hey, hey we girls. Welcome back to It Girls Podcast. This is Jenny.
This is Lindsay.
How are we all? Hope you're all doing fabuloso. It is, when you're listening to this, the last day of March. I like to give an update of the calendar every episode. I'm just like, do you know what it is? I cannot believe
how quick the year is going. It's so funny. Anytime I'm listening back, it's like, I just think it's the middle of March. I just think it's March already. And I'm like, that's good.
But what
there's nothing else
true,
going on.
Dude, the passing of days. Is truly the most exciting thing that's happening.
I know.
The date's changing. I'm like,
it was very exciting last week. I thought it was Tuesday when it was actually Wednesday.
Wow.
Because you put up the episode. I was like, no, why is she putting
it? Oh, it was a reminder.
I know. I was like, oh, for God's sake. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. One of my fave days of the week because that's when our episode comes out.
Hell
it's
yes.
Hump day.
So happy hump day.
Humping.
Happy hump day. But I was going to say as well, tomorrow, Thursday, sign up to Patreon. We've got a really exciting guest coming
yes.
Friday. We've also had really exciting guests. I mean, we had Julia Holbin all the other week. We did some really great episodes over the last month as well. We actually did shitloads of episodes in general for March. We did bonus episodes. The first week of March last month was like, whoa, crazy. We did like a bonus episode.
What was that on?
It was on Ireland's Most Prestigious Influencer Award Ceremony.
That which we will not name.
Shall not be named, but it was just on, it was It Gal Shit Gal. You know, it was classic. We love to be roasting outfits and praising outfits, to be honest, as well. So go check that out, girls. Next month, April, we are upping the ante on our live streams. Our live streams are going to be so fucking fun. So you want to make sure you're signed up and ready to go for that as well, because it's going to be next level. So that's patreon.com/itgirlspodcast.
It's $5 a month. Go get it. It's so worth it. Especially like I listen back to those episodes and I just feel like I have that company. Mm. And it's almost like I'm preparing myself for post-lockdown hangouts. Because you know when you meet up for like a coffee with someone, you know, a socially distanced moment or whatever. I have been so much more exhausted by just like low level interaction because I'm so not used to it, I think. And you're really pushing for conversation because there's not much like free flowing conversation because there's not like shit going on.
Yeah.
So I think like when I'm listening and engaging on the podcast, like this has kept us fucking alive this year. Dear God, being able to meet up and chat.
We're in it for another month at least, girls. So I know you're like me, you've completed all the streaming services. So just fucking sign up to Patreon, get a bit of content into you.
Yeah. And prepared
content.
To
me and Adam were talking the other night about how much I hate the word content.
Content.
Just like, not like as a word, just like as
the
a
idea
phrase.
Of it.
The idea. Like making content for everyone to consume and content. Just like, eh.
Content. Content queens.
We were talking also about like how, like, I don't know. I think you might be on the same page as me, especially now. I find like, and this is a self-own, okay? I'm not reading people. Do you ever just feel so embarrassed about being on the internet so openly?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes like me and Adam were talking about this because he was like, are you going to do your Q&A? And I was like, and he would send it to me as well. And I was like, I honestly will like post ones on the internet and be so mortified about everything that I won't post again for a month. And then I'll do it again because I've somehow like suppressed the memory of posting on the internet. And then I'm like, oh, I'm so embarrassed again. I'm so
For me, it's like, I look at some people online, you know, usually like, like people in England or whatever, you know, who are like
non-Irish.
Yeah, non-Irish or
but,
American
But existing within their own like, yeah, English influences in England or Americans in American.
Blah, yeah. Blah, blah. I just like, I'll click into someone and I'm like, whoa, you're so, it's so like not a thing for you to just take it, whip out your phone and be like, all right. So basically, right, I was like walking down the street and then I bumped into this guy and it's like, it takes so much energy for me to even like get the ring light out and be like, I'm going to talk to my phone. And then I'm faced with my image on the screen and I'm like, ugh.
I just find that like in everywhere else but Ireland, like Ireland has such a specific type of content that we can see. Like no one that I really follow from like America or the UK uses Instagram the way Irish people do. And I mean that in like a bad way on art. Like we're so like, hi guys, hi, happy Monday. Come on, we're over. Let's have some positive vibes.
We're like,
let's
presenters.
Drink our cacao. And yeah, exactly. We're like presenting TV shows every day. Like no, like most of the American people that I would follow like barely even speak to camera.
Mm. Yeah, no, I know.
As it should be. The last thing we need is more people speaking to camera. As I said this, I did speak to camera today. And look, you
won't
be
getting. How did you find it?
Mortifying. Every time I'm halfway through, I'm mortified for myself. And I find like when I'm online, like on stories, I just cannot get my personality across. I fully feel like I'm acting. I'm like, well, who is she?
Who is that?
Who is she? I don't
know. What is her story?
But I'm just like, you know what I mean? It's like, I think it's like, I guess it's the more you do it, the easier it is. I mean, I don't ever want it to be easy.
I disagree really? With that because I have been doing it years since Snapchat.
Yeah, true.
And I just kind of, now it feels so fucking unnatural.
Well, I haven't done it in a while though. That's what I mean. So when you were doing it all the time.
But even before that, it's still, really? I don't know. I think, I don't know what the fuck it is. I can't put my finger on it. I think it's when I was doing it, not to be like, I basically invented talking to camera and now everyone's doing it. I'm a step out.
A pick me influencer.
But like,
do you think we're pick me influencers?
Oh, yes. We're like, everyone else is so shit about us.
We're not like the other influencers.
Yeah. I mean, when I was doing it on Snapchat, it was just like a kind of random thing. A few people were doing and now true. Everyone is doing it. Now everyone has this idea of what an influencer is.
Yeah,
and, you know, like I see like all these like new fashion gals coming up and they're like, hello, my queens, let's pop it up sometime. You know, and it's like, what the fuck? Why are we all acting like Oprah Winfrey? It's just like, you know, everyone's really, really pushing their personality.
There's like a template of how to act online in Ireland. And the weird thing is that it works 9 out of 10 times.
Like, well, do you know what it is? Personalities came through. Like when we started It Gals and shit, it was like, okay, we had, you know, the likes of Rosie Connolly who wasn't really pushing her personality out. And, you know, she was like, just like aspirational. These like deadly people that you were following. Pip O'Connor who have like these deadly lives, gorgeous gaffes, everything's fucking clean. And then we were like, okay, we need to, you know, be bringing some personality to the table, which we did. Through the pod. And now I'm seeing like, you know, these fashion influencers who are, you know, it's the kind of like inspirational on the feed, real in the stories.
Yes,
and it's like, oh, like they're a little
it's a new template, you know, that way. So we're going to be your favorite pick me podcasters and we're going dark.
Yeah.
Online. No, but I mean, it is weird though. I know what you mean. And it's like, it's because when it was something new, it was very exciting to consume that content. But now that it's like, do you know what it is? It's like mukbangs, right? Like they were so popular like when Trisha Paytas started doing them because no one was doing them. Now fucking everyone's doing them. So people are like, oh, for God's sake. Like makeup tutorials. It's like, it's just oversaturation.
I feel like on Instagram, it's like my hot take or like my this or like I just, and everyone's just patting themselves on the back and it's just a space I don't really like to be in. Everyone's like, since no one else is talking about BLM, I think I'll be, it's like, oh, shut up.
You know,
so I'm kind of just like, I'm happy just kind of slagging the shit out of everyone else in my own head when I'm on Instagram. And
I mean, we have a podcast as well.
Which is so much easier. You don't have to look at your fucking face while you're talking.
It's like, I'm just talking to you, you know?
Yeah.
So there you go, girls. That's what a podcast is.
Yeah.
Speaking of authenticity, congrats to those I love on. I mean, are we referring to him as a they? I don't know, but like, congrats on the album, babes. Well, I mean,
Dave Balfour, friend, he goes by the name For Those I Love. You would have seen us sharing the shit out of him like, for the past 2 years.
When we say we don't post online, when we do, it's usually over the past while, you were saying like you went into your like DM with him and it was like all shares. I did the same. It was like incredible, incredible.
I mean, so this is like, we've told the story many a time. I think it's like, we obviously like know him from back in the day when we were like grunge as fuck and going to the hardcore scene gigs.
I have a very, very clear memory in my mind of one time we Skyped Dave and he was doing tricep dips between two chairs.
And then we tried it.
We tried it. We couldn't do it.
He's like, he's a goddamn genius.
He's a man of so now, many
obviously,
talents.
a lot of like, he's getting so much fucking, you know, attention, which is so deadly. Yeah. We made him. No, I'm doing
three bitches again.
I mean, he's
kind of knew about the album, dude.
Yeah. We kind of have been talking about this for 2 years and now we all are catching up. But anyway.
I'm that bitch. He's like, when the new single comes out, I'm like, singing along to all the lyrics. I already know.
I know, the two of us reposting the album and being like, delighted to finally hear it again. I did hear it before because I was on it before it got popular.
Bandcamp?
Yeah. Did you know that? No. Shooting guns with
shooting
the finger.
Bow, shooting bow, bow, bow.
I have fucking no music, mate.
Music guns.
Air guitar. Air guitar. Example,
air like, synth.
But obviously there's like a load of fucking attention around this album. It's gotten like it's gotten fucking huge. He was signed. It's like such an exciting time. He was on Tommy Tiernan. He's gotten like 5-star reviews. Like, it's been critically acclaimed.
If you haven't listened to any of his stuff, you should go watch the Other Voices performance, because I think that's a good introduction to like a bit of everything,
yeah,
you know?
Totally.
And they put that up on the RTE player recently, which was incredible. But yeah, I mean, it's just such a good album.
Get the tissues out, girlies.
Get the tissues
one.
Out, girls. It is so intense, but you know, it's also, the music is just so fucking good. And I just congrats to Dave, because I know he's an avid listener of It Girls.
Yeah.
But I do know that, I mean, it's just so cool seeing, you know, whether we knew him or not, it's just actually really cool seeing like an Irish musician who's really, I feel like, kind of like pushing the boundaries of, commercial, dare I say, music, like music that is like being played on radio, and you know, that way, like really being accepted. And I think that
for
like,
me, it's like, I think the two of us, I've never, like, finding that album from when he randomly put it on his story 2 years ago and like going on Bandcamp and then like being like, it was literally like I was walking around across the road and I saw a fucking diamond just in the tarmac. So I was like, what?
Yeah.
I've stumbled across this insane thing. And being able to follow and see it get like recognition and his work is like, because I feel like with Ireland, I don't know, whether it's with influencers or whatever, sometimes I'm like, oh, why the fuck do they have a platform? Why the fuck is she the only singer? Why the fuck, you know? And then, so with this, an actual like incredible piece of music,
yeah,
I'm like, finally, something that deserves the recognition is getting it. And like, there's obviously been like super heavy kind of conversation about it. So I want to like alleviate that sense a bit, because what like really I adore about the album is it just reminds me so much. Now, obviously a lot of it is about like working class, and it's very much about like men and male relationships, and you know, there's a heavy backstory to it. But what I love about it, it reminds me of like songs I had while growing up. Like, there's a little like song part of it, which I honestly think is, remember Party Boy and Jackass? I think he like used a bit of that song. Like, it's all these like, it's like he kind of collaged these musical memories together.
It's all samples, a lot of the music, but it's like remixed,
it's so layered.
And yeah,
and should, voice notes. I just think it's so like, it just is so poignant to like how we interact right now in musical form, which I think
it's
is
like
so
a diary.
Cool.
It's like a diary music. So go stream for those I love on Spotify.
And buy it and
stream it at least.
Yeah, and tag It Girls in his last say, It Girls brought me here.
Don't.
But yeah,
but this week,
it's fucking cool.
It is a great album, great album. So this week, we have a few things on our little piece of paper here we'd like to discuss. Oh, yes. There's the magpies. The crow is back. There's these two crows that sit outside our studio, and me and Lindsay are like, they are me and Lindsay. They're like, ah, like, you know, like a witch's familiar is like her little black cat. Like, they are fucking familiar to these two raggedy ass beach crows.
They are fucked.
They're full, but you know what? They're chic as well.
There's a tampon hanging off one of the wings.
Well, they're back and they're looking out for us, for our haters. If our haters,
yeah, anytime we record, like, yeah, what will happen? You're the witch.
Their eyes.
Oh my god! Do you remember that? I remember. What's that fucking Passion of Christ?
I never watched that.
We went with the church. We rented out the cinema.
The
whole church rented out the cinema.
Sure.
Oh. And there's a scene when like Jesus is on the cross and this fucking crow like pokes one of the guy's eyes out, and I can't, anytime I see a crow I'm like, get away.
Isn't it crazy that they like legit used to crucify people? Like, what the fuck?
I know, honestly, this year has crucified me. Now moving on.
So yeah, we want to talk about Lil Nas X. What a fucking icon. He obviously released his song Montero, Call Me By Your Name. Have you listened to the song, Linz?
No.
No.
Well, I tried. I listened to half of it.
Oh my god, I love it.
Do you?
It's so good.
I need to
listen
to it a few more times. Sorry, I've just been belfaged just up to the gills, huh? For those I love is all I can consume right now.
We're doing an episode on this song you didn't even fucking listen.
No, I'm not. I thought we were doing it on the fucking Shoozy Woozies.
Well, I mean, the whole, it's all interlinked in the song.
I did listen to half, but either way, this, I thought, was an interesting thing to discuss because Lil Nas, first of all, we wanted to talk about the fact that, you know, he, when did he come out as gay? Pretty soon into his career, right?
It was about, I think it was last year. He tweeted it or something, didn't he? It was after Old Town Road went viral. Anyway, yeah. Because people didn't know he was gay then.
And Lil Nas is a goddamn icon, even for the sense of him, like, researching how to go viral and then like basically planting his virality.
And his music is really fucking cool as well. Like, I was, you know, because like music nowadays is so based on virality because TikTok goes into the charts now. And even before TikTok, you are looking for a viral moment, you know, that way.
That's been like since even jazz. They fucking like, if we're thinking of viral in the sense of like a group of people being able to listen to something, like, you know, art, like different types of music have been like respond, like what kind of chords make you happy and sad. So like, that's all linked into like pop music and stuff.
It is. But I think like now one reason why music is so kind of like, dare I say, shit right now is because there really isn't that. There is like, again, it's like the influencer thing we were talking about earlier. There's a weird template that you can fit for a song to blow up. It doesn't actually necessarily have to be like the most incredible song, like any groundbreaking element to it musically, vocally.
You're not vibing with music wise who's huge?
Fucking loads of people.
I don't like Dua Lipa.
Oh no, I couldn't. I mean, I genuinely couldn't sing you one of her songs. I don't like her. I don't like Charlie XCX.
No,
I don't.
She's still bopping around. It's surprised she's still
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Oh, the two of them are there now. The two crows. they're like, hey, babies. I don't like her. I don't like the majority of
Megan Thee Stallion. We love her.
I like her. Yeah, but like,
again, she's getting a bit. You know, we loved her when we watched her Tiny Desk, and that's what I loved, her acoustic, like, but I hate the overproduced kind of shit, really.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'm not a big, I kind of like to listen to some rap music as like almost background. It's not really my like main genre that I would like sit down and, you know, you'd be more into kind of rap than I would be. But like, I like her attitude and I like her as like a pop
Mind
star.
To rap. Yeah, I guess I am.
You that's, are, that's yeah. Best. That's gonna be your main one, I feel. But I feel, you know, I love
the time and a place when I'm like,
yeah, exactly. But I love like her as a superstar, you know, cause I can always kind of, I can like look at a pop star and like acknowledge them, even if I'm not like mad to music, as them as like an icon. I'm like, amazing. Yeah. Like, that's why I think like Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion are like so fucking cool. Like, I think they're like really cool.
I'm not
pop
rushing
stars.
Out to listen to like the whole Cardi B album.
No, but I'll listen to the singles.
Summer
really
Walker is also fucking, I really like.
Yeah.
I really like her. Summer Walker, she had a Bobby deal today.
Oh, fair play.
And she also, because she had it with her producer, London Nanda Drek, and they had like some stunning, like, when she was pregnant, she was putting up shit against about him and like, you are a fucking deadbeat dad. And
oh, really? They're not together anymore?
Ooh. Now they're back together. So I'm like,
awkward.
Loving that tea.
Loving the tea. But like, yeah, so like there is a template of how to kind of go viral. And part of that is like, you know, TikTok and all these kind of things, like getting dances and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But Lil Nas, I think even though he does go viral, like obviously Old Town Road was like so fucking viral, but like that song is so good. Like, I legitimately listened to that one. So I remember being like, I love it. His vocals are really fucking cool. And like, it's really unusual. Like, I mean, that song was also so iconic because it was like a black man who then turned out to be gay collabing with Billy Ray Cyrus on a country track.
And he leans into, because a lot of time, like we saw it with Miley Cyrus, who like obviously for years was trying to like expel herself from being kind of related to the, like she really didn't lean into her country side, which is like, because country music is so kind of like, I don't know, people just automatically are like, ew. But I love that Lil Nas like dips into it heavily, wearing the clothes. Like, I mean, can we talk for a minute about like Harry Styles versus Lil Nas X? Like, it's so fucking tiresome how much attention that bastard Harry Styles gets.
Credit to Fiona also for bringing this to this like kind of
My sissy
Fiona Hamilton. She brought this comparison to the table because I was like, that's so fucking true. Like, we see Harry Styles constantly getting like applauded for wearing like a fucking dress that a stylist put him in on Vogue. Like, okay,
a pussy bow Gucci
like
blouse.
Yeah, but it's like no one. People acting like that was like some sort of like incredible feat. I'm like, have you never heard of David Bowie? Like, androgyny and like gender play within fashion has literally been around for so long.
Like, Frida Kahlo wore a goddamn suit.
Yeah, but like, even if you're thinking of men in a feminine sense, like, I mean, the 70s did that, glam rock. Like, we've had Aerosmith, we've had like...
Heels were designed for men.
Yeah.
But to get up on the hoof.
Yeah, well, they were for both people. It was for Louis XIV. It was a... rich people didn't want to be getting the sewer water from the streets on their feet. How fucking ass. They were all tiddling around. But you know what I mean? Like, in modern day, like, say 20th century anyway, like, androgyny and like the whole like gender stereotype of clothing and fashion was completely broken down in the 70s. Like, the 80s, still you saw men going around wearing like, there was like glam rock, even Ozzy Osbourne, Kiss, all wearing makeup. The 90s, Kurt Cobain, like, there's not a fucking
Marilyn Manson,
you know, all early 2000s probably went a bit more bro-ish, but like, I mean, if anything, they went more like childlike, like NSYNC and everything. They were like, we're pretending to be little kids, but you know what I mean? So like, there has been Harry Styles wearing a fucking dress on the cover of Vogue, like, in a very small way, it's like, wow. But like, Lil Nas, like, Harry Styles, first of all, is, I love when people are saying he's gay baiting. I'm like, that's so fucking true. He's just like, there was a thing on TikTok that was saying like, Harry Styles, a stylist, or him, or like gay baiting is in, like, because they know how far the gay, like, the LGBT fan base will go for someone. So if you hook them in, it's like hooking, it's like Samantha Jones. First the gays, then the girls, then everyone else, you know? Yeah. So if you get like the gays on board being like fucking amazing, you'll probably like, you're, you know, held high in pop culture, you know, within, like, if you think of like RuPaul, all these kind of things. Well,
they're very, if you get the gays, they're very loyal.
Well, it's a stan culture,
they're
right?
They're so loyal. You know, they're still standing Katie Price. They return up to her book signing, her 50th book. You know, it's that kind of thing. But like, so with Harry Styles, like, what was the fucking award show?
Was it the Met Gala?
Yeah.
It was the camp one, which, I mean.
No, the one just recent where he wore the feather boa.
And that looked so bad. Like, was it the Grammys?
Did you pop into Deals on the way to the fucking
It wasn't
Grammys?
Even ostrich feather. Like, you're going to tell me you're from one of the biggest boy bands in the last like 20 years and you can't even afford a fucking ostrich feather boa?
I think he was trying to look kooky.
It's like
shit.
A chicken feather boa. Like, at least get a fucking expensive one, bitch.
It's like a hen party when like you see a good looking guy
single
in the pub.
String.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, put it on him. Isn't this so fun? But like, he rocks up in this like kind of Alicia Silverstone, clueless vibe blazer, a little vest underneath and the feather boa, and people are fully jizzing all over themselves about like how amazing he is. And what I can't stand about him, and in terms of like, but he also got like the gay baiting thing where in his lyrics, he, I think, spoke about guys or whatever, like, was kind of ambiguous with, like, you know, the gender of what he goes for and saying they and shit like that. So they're all like, oh my God, our queen, your queen has been fucking, like, capitalizing off fake relationships in the tabloids.
Yeah.
For the entirety of his career, which has probably trumped him as being like, obviously he was the best looking guy at a One Direction.
Yeah, he was the sexy one. Like, and everyone was like, you know.
And he had the Caroline Flack thing, which kind of propelled him into more tabloid. And then Taylor Swift. Yeah, yeah. And now he's fucking doing it with Olivia Wilde.
But I think the only people falling for the Harry Styles like thing is like basic white women. They're like, yes. Like, I mean, I don't see many, like a lot of people I see online are just like, how are people falling for this shite as well? Again, you know, that way. That's a lot of the conversation.
The relationship shit.
No, they're like non-binary bullshit where he's like pretending to wear a dress as if like, but then like his paparazzi pictures are him bopping around looking like dressing shite.
He'll just have like a t-shirt and jeans and maybe like one painted pinky finger. It's like, oh my god, he's so progressive.
Which like every fucking indie fella has painting their nails at the moment. Which like also again, Dennis Rodman, like Evan painted his nails in his confirmation.
Yeah, because of Dennis Rodman. I know, like Dennis Rodman did it with such a like natural ease, and that was amazing because he was like this super tall black like basketball player,
sports
who
star.
Also was like so hypersexual and had these like when I was like fucking
Carmen Electra
hot. Like dear god.
But yeah, Lil Nas was like, I mean, I love that look he wore, the Versace suit, you know, with the pink one.
Oh, it was like, it's like so good.
And like I know like people like he does get, you know, that did blow up and that was really viral, but he also got a lot of like hate for it, you know. And it's like you're gonna like,
he got hate?
Well, I think I remember when it came out, people were like, what? You know, like laddish kind of shit. Mm. You know, that way people are like, what the fuck is he wearing?
That pink.
Because it was way, the pink is like one of the perfect things.
His skin is, that pink is like fluoro.
So fucking cool. Like he looked so badass.
He looked amazing.
And his fashion should be celebrated more.
No, it really should. And like, I love, like I said, that he's leaning into the like country with the like cowboy hat, but like, so like the idea of like the Brokeback Mountain flex of it being like a gay cowboy, the two belts bringing the kind of BDSM, like,
yeah,
you know, bando-y like thing. Then the first, oh, he's just so fucking gorgeous as well. He's really, really good looking.
He seems like such a cutie. And the song is so cool. So I was watching the Genius, you know, where they explain the lyrics.
Yeah.
So obviously his real name is Montero, which the song is called. And then it's called Call Me By Your Name because it's after the film Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah.
Which the whole thing is like, when you call me by your name and I call you by my name, that's like our code for like, we're going to, you know, get it on kind of thing. It's like our secret code. So when he's singing like Montero in the song, he's actually singing to the person, but it's all based on a true story of him. He's like, I was hit up by this artist, and everyone's like, ooh, who was it? And you know, I was hit up by this guy and he said, come over to my house. I went over and he was like, I saw like there was loads of coke there, there was like alcohol, and he was like, I kind of saw a guy who was you know, he kind of says like, oh, you're living in the fast lane and you're not happy. And he's like, you know, it's both like, you're not happy because you're obviously doing lots of drugs, but also you're kind of in the closet because like, you know, he obviously went over to this like other musician or actor or something's house, and like he had like loads of drugs everywhere and like, you know, people around, but like he was kind of making eyes at Lil Nas from across the room. And he was like, he basically like fell, like got really infatuated with this guy. But some of the lyrics are like so fucking iconic, just for the fact like he has a lyric in it, and he said like when he sang this lyric in the studio, everyone was like, whoa, you're gonna fucking say that? And it's like, I want that jet lag from fucking and flying, shoot a child in your mouth while I'm riding. But it's so, he was like, I wanted like normalize like speaking openly about gay sex. He's like, it's so rare. He's like, you know, if you've got, so, you know, heterosex is always spoken about in multiple
graphic
ways.
Kind of terms. Yeah.
And like, and it's never questioned. And he was like, I want to have these conversations. And like, he's mentioned like this other song he had, I can't remember which one it was, where he says something about like references being a bottom or being a top, or you know what I mean, like kind of referencing in like just other like gay vernacular, but without it being so jokey, you know, that way. Like Evan and I were talking the other night, actually, about, we were talking about like just in the media, and we've spoken about it a bit in the podcast as well, like the kind of like, you know, representation that Irish media love to have of gay men. And I was like, you know what, I was like, it's funny. I think it actually goes across not just gay men, not just women, but men as well. Irish people, like the Irish media, love someone who's like good looking, say even openly gay or a good looking woman. But the second they have any ounce of acknowledgement of their own sexuality, they're like, absolutely no. Like, we love a gay man who's like, never references being gay.
James Patrice.
Yeah, completely obviously being gay. But as soon as there's someone like, and not to pit them against each other, because like, obviously, like, they're both lovely guys, but like, say James Kavanagh talks more openly about sex and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but I do think as well, in like, you know, with James Kavanagh, I do think like the public enjoy and feel more settled that he's in this like relationship for a long-term relationship.
My
you know,
point,
if he was like out dating and talking about sex in that way, I think they'd be a bit like, oh dear god, he's so
not
racy.
Yeah, but he's not nearly on, like, you know what I mean, like James Kavanagh is such a natural personality, and yet he hasn't. Like, he's so something that I'd be like, why the fuck is he not have his own fucking chat show? And I think a lot of it is because he does openly talk about sex. Like, he'd be showing William's fucking art about the arses and all. And yeah, like, it's this kind of like, kind of awareness of your own sexuality. And it's the same with women. Like, we love a good looking woman, but as soon as there's someone who's like acknowledges or is known or talks about their sexuality or sex,
well, like Dearing Garrahy, she was so loved until that fucking viral shit, and then they were like, dear god, what a slut. You know,
it's like, you know, someone who I'm really fond of, say like Roz, like bombshell, really gorgeous girl, but because she's not like, she doesn't have a personality like you or I, who'd be like, hey guys, let's talk about fucking.
Yeah,
you know, that
way
that we love that kind of like beautiful, anyone can be man, woman, but as soon as they have some sort of like, you know, knowledge of their own sexuality, they're all of a sudden like the Irish media are like, absolutely no. But you do have that more so in like modern day, like say music with like Lil Nas X. Like, people love gay people, and they love to be like, yes, queening. You know, we talked about it last week in our episode with that guy being like, anytime I fucking mention I'm gay, I've got 15 bitches around me being like, yes bitch, come on queen. Yeah. Like, you know, so I think that we, like, I really appreciate that in the lyrics, like, and it, throughout his music, he is normalizing talking about gay sex in that way too, and not just being like, I'm a, you know, guy pole dancing, you know, that way. But it's I think it's really cool. And
well, it is very isolating as like two women who have a podcast, which we, you know, have spoken openly about like sexual issues, like from our listeners, you know, we've talked about dating openly, and like, it's frustrating when like even people in my real life can sometimes be like, oh, you obviously are controversial, or that kind of like, we're slapped with that kind of term all the time. And I'm like, why? It's not like we're doing it to purposely be controversial or salacious or raunchy. It's like, I want the opposite, in fact, to normalize these conversations. And that's because, you know, I was brought up in the church, and it was very, you know, like, so forbidden to kind of talk about this, or for sex to be anything other than totally pure with your potential husband and you wait for him or whatever. So, and that very much was the map of, like, my life would have mapped out totally differently if sex had been normalized in our culture. So even now, like, when we saw like Wet Ass Pussy come out, there was uproar and stuff like that. However, it is talking about something that we all came from, sex. So I totally appreciate it. And again, with like, sometimes I can feel like if I'm with my gay friends, I'd love to be able to talk to them about what the fuck they do in bed. I'm interested. I'm really intrigued with that kind of shit. But you don't want to seem too nosy. So,
but you also don't want to seem like you're almost like fetishizing it in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, because
I'd like to just learn and also just have the conversation open. So I think it's cool that like he's, you know, been out as gay and like, you know, leaning into his sexuality in like, just like female rappers or, you know, female pop singers do, you know?
And he wrote a tweet about it. So he posted this saying, dear 14-year-old Montero, I wrote a song with our name about it. It's about a guy I met last summer. I know we promised to never come out publicly. I know we promised to never be that type of gay person. I know we promised to die with the secret, but this will be open doors for many other queer people to simply exist. You see, this is very scary for me. People will be angry. They'll say I'm pushing an agenda, but the truth is I am. The agenda to make people stay the fuck out of other people's lives and stop dictating who they should be. Sending you love from the future. I'm like, that's so fucking cute. And like, you know, there's such, if you don't talk about a fucking representation, there is such a low level of representation in like, you know, first of all, in like music, a lot of the time there's not like a huge amount of openly gay people making music, especially about kind of gay sex.
Well, like, you know, we saw it from like, you know, all boy bands, like,
yeah,
it's all from fucking Boyzone, our own boy band, like in Westlife as well, where NSYNC, they were told to quieten and suppress the truth that they were gay, and obviously they were singing like lyrics as if they weren't gay.
Yeah, but it's also, you know, it's such a it's still a stigmatized thing a lot in like, say, predominantly black like black males in America, you know, that way. It's not an open thing. You always hear of this kind of stuff of like, is Kanye West secretly gay? Is Drake secretly gay? You know, you always hear these secret closeted cases. So I think it's, for a young like black male in America, I think that would be so cool to see someone like Lil Nas. And the song is, it's really fucking good. I love it. I think it's so cool. The video is iconic as well. He's got, had some heat. You were telling me about the video.
Yeah. So he has, well, two things. He's had heat with, he brought out these customized Nike shoes
with a streetwear brand. So this is a comment recently as well. It wasn't with Nike, because before people were saying it was a collab with Nike.
Yeah, no, he brought out like 1,000 of them. They're like modified Nike Air Max 97s, and they contain like
666 of them.
Yeah, they're 666, and they're selling for $1,000. And they're selling for $1,018. Dollars, because that's a Luke 10:18 verse that he has on the side, and he has then like apparently in the like air bubbles there's a drop of human blood in each one, so like they are intense as fuck. So the governor Kristi Noem wrote, our kids are being told that this kind of product is not only okay, it's exclusive. But do you know what's more exclusive? Their God-given eternal soul.
And then I think he like retweeted being like, you're a literal governor.
Do your job.
Just stop tweeting.
You're a literal governor tweeting about shoes. Do your job. We are in a fight for the soul of our nation. We need to fight hard and we need to fight smart. Now, Nike came out and totally disassociated, said they had like no, no like relationship with either Lil Nas or MSCHF, Mischief. So there's like, I mean, he's
They sold out completely.
Yeah, there like 666, so I'm sure they would, but like they look like they're fucking cool.
They're
like,
really cool,
as in like, you know, I wouldn't be rocking some Satan shoes personally. And that the 10:18 reference, Luke 10:18, is when I think God said that Satan fell from heaven.
Okay,
so
and he falls into Satan's lap in the video when he pole dances down onto Satan's ass.
So and I mean, you know, I first saw the video and like listened to the song and, you know, most of the song. And, you know, then looking at these shoes that are like pretty hardcore from to me, because I was brought up with like, you know, you don't kind of, you don't, it's satanic. I'm not exactly down with that, but I understand where he's coming from in the sense of like, he was brought up like, you know, surrounded by like this conservative conversation that exists, you know, from the governor and from, you know, it's like, it's the general kind of, we're used to seeing that and hearing that. And, you know, I'm not sure where he grew up, do you know?
I'm not sure where he's from either. But I mean, like, I think he's from, it doesn't really matter where you're from. I think if you grow up in a predominantly kind of Christian culture, which everyone in America does, everyone in Ireland
Georgia,
yeah, so the South, you know, you are, he made this point that like his whole life he was told, and every gay person, especially in Bible Belt America, is told that like what they will do will end up in hell, burning eternally with Satan.
That it's a sin to be gay.
So I love the way
I heard that in my church.
Yeah, and I love the way he owned it, and he was like, you know, you say I'm going to end up burning in hell. Okay, I'm going to go down and give Satan a damn lap dance, kill him and put the horns on myself.
Well, because that's the fear. That is a massive fear, especially when you're young. Like, I mean, I remember when I was a bit older and I went down to Trebolgan and we went into, I was pregnant with Rilo at the time. Mm. And I think me and my sisters were down in Trebolgan. My mum would always do this. She'd be like, come down for the weekend. No, you don't have to come to any of the sermons. Just, you can pop around the town. So we were like, deadly, okay. Like, we'll just pop into a local pub. You're off doing the sermons. And as soon as we get down there, she's like, well, they're going to one a day at least. We're like, what? We wouldn't be here. And so I remember like, we kind of made friends with some of the like leaders of the youth section. Yeah, yeah. So like that was just a bit more fun to go to, because like the sermons with like for the adults were like super intense, and like, you know, I didn't know what they were on about. So we kind of like go to like hang out with the like older, the kind of like young adults that we had made friends with or whatever, who were over from America teaching these kids. And like we'd sit in with some of the talks and like, it's like, wow, these fucking 12 and 13 year olds are being told like, don't wank, you know, don't, all these like thoughts can come into your head whether you're gay like this, and God has a idea for you, he has a wife or a husband for you, and there's a way to live. And if God, these kind of things are like sewn into your little absorbent brain when you're first just hitting puberty, like they do it right at that time.
Yeah,
you know, when you're just kind of, now I know there's lots of different people, like some people say like, I knew I was gay from when I was like 4 or 5. Some people say like, I kind of only understood, like, it, I don't, you know, we're fucking straight so we don't know, but like mm-hmm. from talking to my gay friends, I know that there's lots of different journeys into understanding your sexuality. And it's the same for even like, you know, whether you're bisexual or lesbian or like even straight, like sometimes you're like, you're kind of understanding, you don't think about it. But when these things are sewn into your brain from mm-hmm. such a young age, especially with such a violent context of like, if you do go down the route of being gay, you are sinning forever and your sexuality is a sin. Your idea of potentially falling in love with someone the same sex as you is a sin. It's like yeah. so seen as like,
and it brings around like an impure. Idea totally, and it brings around an idea of like, obviously again it's weaved into it that being gay is a choice, and then it's put onto you that like you're choosing to be evil, you know. It's like, you can control this. If you are choosing the devil's path of like being homosexual and you know involving yourself in sodomy.
Well, I think they say that you can think it, but if you act out it, you know,
I'd say there'd be some a lot of places that also say you can't think this shit. Like thinking it is a sin. It's a way of, you hear of that all the time. Like I know your man, what's his name, Bobby from Queer Eye. Mm. Like he always talks about being brought up in like a Baptist church, and like it was, you know, he went to get conversion therapy, I'm pretty sure.
I don't mean that if you think it, that's okay. I mean like that you can like they see like, you know, it's natural for these thoughts to come into your head. However, it's acting it out is the issue, kind of thing.
Okay,
you know the way. Like, so that's where we see like conversion therapy or like, you know, just suppressing it or celibacy.
Do you think that's weird that they say like you're allowed to think of being gay, but you're not allowed to act on
it's
it?
It's not that you're allowed to think yeah. about it. It's like that
that's
humans.
That's not the sin.
Well, every human sins. Okay, you know, but like, okay. So that's the idea of like, say if like, you know, for a straight person, for example, you can have these momentary sins where like, you know, sex before marriage or doing whatever, that kind of, in terms of like sexual sins, mm-hmm. shall we say. But with a lifestyle, which is like, you know, being gay, and they would see it as like choosing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To like, so it's similar, say if I was like choosing to continuously have sex before marriage, that's like a constant sin. Right. But it's just like a kind of burden you have to carry.
Yeah.
Throughout. It's, yeah. You know, like.
But it vilifies it, you know, that
for
way.
For straight people, it's like if you do the momentary sin of like maybe having sex before you got married, you get married and it's kind of like forgotten.
Mm.
That sin you can get over, you can move past with your life. But if you're gay, there's no alleviation because it's just a downright sin. There's no way you can mm-hmm. like, oh, but I'm only going to have sex with my husband if you're a gay man. Yeah. Or I'll just, you know, there's no way to like maneuver through it. It's all a sin. Which is like so much to take on.
It's just so damaging for a child's mind. So like, I yeah. do like how he, you know, took that into his own hands. Like personally, like I didn't grow up obviously with like a religious background. So I like satanic imagery doesn't like have an effect on me whatsoever. But so I think like, I mean, I just found it entertaining and like kind of punk rock, if I'm honest.
Very
like,
punk rock. And I love that his responses on Twitter were so
this
good.
Is what I love about Lil Nas especially.
He's
like,
so good.
I love that, like, I mean, obviously he knew it was going to go viral. Like, there's no way he didn't putting this out as
but
like,
he also did it with reason, which I like. He didn't just like throw out this kind of
yes.
like with WAP. I enjoyed that song, but like I way prefer something that has like
a bit more of layers.
Yeah,
right?
Like a foundation of like to fall back on instead of just being like, oh, these two fucking bitches like singing about like a dick hitting that thing at the back of their throat. Like, yeah. What is really the outcome here? What's the point?
It's also like not
the
as,
greater point.
Like, it's not, yeah, 100%. And it's not as, like, groundbreaking as, like, say, Lil Nas and stuff. Because, like, at the end of the day, we've had Lil Kim talking about giving blowjobs since the early 90s. You know yeah. what I mean? We've had it.
And we can move past the kind of, like, oh, well, male rappers are talking about this all the time. It's like, okay, well, like, whatever. Do I really particularly want to listen to a male rapper talking about that too? I don't know. I don't care. Yeah. Like,
I can see the argument for WAP. I still thought it was cool. But I do think, I completely agree with you. I think this has, I like that it's a personal story to him that he's battled with. Like, he obviously only like came out like a year ago publicly anyway. Yeah. And
it's a healer for him. Yeah. Like, music is a healer. And if you're trying to like, I mean, I know that I'm still continuously doing work on my own, like untangling of like what I was brought up with mm-hmm. in loads of different ways, you know, mm-hmm. specifically sexual because yeah. that's really what they really, really wanted to, you know, it was so not like there's tons of sins in the Bible and in the Ten Commandments, but they really zone in from my experience and like from talking to others on the sex shit and gay shit, you know?
Gay shit.
They don't really go on about.
Yeah.
Alcohol. Well, Jesus turned water into wine, so drink up. But like fucking sex.
Yeah.
That's the thing where they really, really just want to fucking, you know,
they have a hard on for the old sex.
Yeah, they just really want to stop that. Stop that.
But
right now.
His reactions online have been so good. He's just been trolling everyone, which I really appreciate. Like, as I said, he obviously knew this was going to go viral to an extent, but like, so he was prepared. But like, I do like that there wasn't this whole, like, did you see he posted an apology video?
Oh my gosh.
And it was just a link to the shoes.
It was like, it gave me Conor McGregor energy when he was like, I'd like to apologize for fucking nothing. He like was holding up the shoes and like he was starting as if he's doing like sit down apology talk. And then it goes back into the song. It's like, and then he, in the caption or in the comment section, he was like, real apology here. And then it was a link back to the song. So it's like such good marketing, if anything. You're a whole governor on here tweeting about some damn shoes. So good job.
This podcast is a pro Lil Nas X.
We are pro
the song. Lindsay, you should listen to the song for sure.
I'll get into it. I'm just still on the come down for those I love album.
it'll bring you a little comic relief, if anything.
Yeah, but this is another tweet just to finish that he put out. I spent my entire teenage years hating myself because of the shit y'all preach would happen to me because I was gay. So I hope you're mad. Stay mad. Feel the same anger you teach us to have towards ourselves. So
love that. I saw that as well. Yeah, it's, well worded, Lil Nas.
Well worded, and he's not being fucking dumbed down.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So speaking of apology videos, we have some YouTube drama, which we don't usually talk about YouTube drama. We have done in the past, but I think it's only really applicable when it goes so big. Like, we had obviously talked about Dramageddon 2.0 because that was just like, whoa, huge, like Tati and James Charles and Jeffree Star. Like, that was
that was beautiful.
It was a beautiful moment. And we're seeing another one really unfold over the past few months.
Now, this one I need help with because you obviously are, you are a fan of Trisha Paytas, for example.
I'm a stan of Trisha Paytas.
Excuse me, what?
And
for years, like.
Literally, I watched her.
10 years?
The first video I ever saw of Trisha Paytas was in, I'm going to say 2009, and it was her with her nails. She used to wear those duck bill nails.
Oh my gosh, I remember that.
And it was like, how I wipe my ass with my nails. And I was like, this girl is like, I was like,
I forgot about those duck bill nails.
I know. Her early videos, like, she had talked about it, they were all trolls. Like, she used to just purposely wind people up. She was working as like an escort and a stripper at the time, and she said she did one video about do dogs have brains, and she made so much money off it. She was like, oh, I should just keep instigating and trolling because I'll make money off it. She doesn't do that anymore.
The first video I watched of hers was when she was like breaking a Guinness World Book of Records thing for speaking really fast.
Yeah.
Which was gas.
Yeah, she's like
bloop, bloop, bloop.
She can speak really, really fast. I mean, she's a woman of so many talents. She's been on like almost every TV show. She's been on Tyra. She's been on Dr. Phil. She's been
Big
on
Brother.
Celebrity Big Brother UK. Celebrity Big Brother UK. She's been on Modern Family. She's been on
Modern Family.
Ellen. She's just done so much. And she's really come into her stride recently. But in 2017, she started going out with a guy called Jason Nash, who was like an older member of this group of YouTubers called the Vlog Squad. Okay, so the Vlog Squad were this group of YouTubers who kind of came from Vine. Remember when Vine was really big, and then Vine,
RIP Vine,
RIP, and then Vine collapsed, and all the Vine stars went onto YouTube. So it was like David Dobrik, that guy from Drake and Josh. He's in the Vlog Squad, and
is he problematic?
I don't know. I don't really keep up with him too much. He kind of annoys me.
Josh Peck.
Yeah.
I liked him on Vine, and then he kind of got a bit annoying when he just...
I don't know. Anyway, he's neither here nor there in the thing, so we'll have to just skip him.
Sorry, Josh. The only drama he kind of is involved in is apparently not inviting Drake to his wedding.
Oh, yeah. Crazy. And he always used to just, like, in any of the Vlog Squad videos, he used to always just bring up Drake and Josh, and I'm just like, okay.
Oh, yeah. Like, on, when he... Like, and also, he fat shames himself so much, which I don't like. Because it's like...
Well, he lost a lot of weight, so he's proud of it.
Yeah, but then he looks back, like, there was loads of vines where he's, like, eating ice cream, and then he, like, looks at a picture of him big, and he, like, drops out. It's kind of like...
It's kind of funny. I mean, if you can't fat shame yourself, who can you?
Okay.
You know?
The greatest scream.
yeah, so she was going out with a member of the Vlog Squad, this guy Jason, and he was, like, best friends and kind of David Dobrik's right-hand man. Now, David Dobrik started the Vlog Squad, okay? He was, like, the biggest off Vine of the lot of them. And he would basically pick people from Vine who he thought were, like, entertaining, and they all kind of made, like, a Team 10. We've seen it a million times before. TikTok house, Goat house, you know, like, this is what... It's, again, a template, okay, of, like... load of creatives or content creators or all those words that we cringe at living in a house together, profiting off each other. Now, the weird thing that I always found about their vlogs, and that has since come to light, which wasn't very fact, very strange, was that David Dobrik had way more, like, dare I say, clout than the rest of them. David Dobrik was, like, the star of the show. He was the ringleader. He had way more followers. He was doing these vlogs at the time where everyone moved on to doing, you know, 20-minute vlogs, 25-minute vlogs. David Dobrik's thing was a 5-minute vlog max. And it was really sharp jump cuts, the way it was edited. It was very like a Vine, you know, really short attention span, bite-sized content. And he would film for a whole day. He'd do them daily. He'd film for a whole day, and it would just seem... I guess, like, it was mainly for kids. Like, I never really watched his vlogs until Trisha was around them, and even then I didn't really watch them, but I was aware of his content then. His content was, you know, for kids, and I can see how a kid would find it really entertaining, because it's, you know, as I said, very bite-sized, very short attention span, and it would seem like loads is happening in his day. You know, he'd be getting up and someone would be getting pranked, and then someone would be jumping off a building, and then there would be a horse in the room, and then there's a car and someone's bought it. That's literally what his vlogs were like.
Yeah, he's not for me. His overall personality.
You know, he gives is me not, the ick.
He is the ick.
He also went out with Liza Koshy. So they were like a really big.
I watched the breakup video.
Yes.
The one where they like, they did a few of those, didn't they?
They were like a consciously uncoupling kind of vibe.
Yeah. And they were like crying and hugging and laughing and like, oh my God, this is so weird. What the fuck?
Yeah. Like two like asexuals breaking up with each other.
Yeah.
Trisha Paytas recently said.
What?
She said on Frenemies, apparently they had sex 3 times for their whole relationship. Oh. She was like, she just said it. She was like, oh shit, I wasn't supposed to say that. Liza told me.
Oh my God.
Doesn't surprise me. Makes more sense.
Oh
than
no.
Else.
It would make, it, I would actually be sickened if it was like, oh, they were rampant.
Oh yeah. So to bring in Trisha Paytas, obviously she was going out with Jason Nash. Now, he was David Dobrik's right-hand man, okay? As I said, David Dobrik was definitely the ringleader. He was the one who would, like, they all were very desperate to be in the vlog. They all called it the vlog. Not David's vlog, the vlog. Because if you get, like, if you became a predominant character in these vlogs, or if you became, like, a known member of the Vlog Squad, like, you know, the A-team of the Vlog Squad, you would, you know, end up, your YouTube would pop off, all the rest. Like, there's a lot of people who basically
And he obviously had, like, so many connections. Like, he's been on Vogue. He's been, like, you know.
Yeah, well, he was just so famous, you know. And, yeah, exactly. You were able to profit off, which I'll get onto that anyway. So Trisha starts going out with Jason, and...
And this was a relationship, say, with Jason. Like, we saw prior, who was the dude that she was going out with before Jason? He was kind of quite camp, and, like, they were doing these dance videos.
Who's now apparently going out with Jeffree Star. Very strange.
Okay, Jeffrey, calm down. I think you need therapy, queen, because yes, there's just like constant stories of him with, like, I mean, we all miss Nate, you know?
I know. And I know you and Trisha aren't friends anymore, but fucking her recently, up until recently in the closet boyfriend is...
Why are they not friends anymore?
Oh, honey, that's not the episode.
Oh, Man, you see, this is what I mean. Like, you've been following this for years, and then I want to get in on it when the drama comes.
But this only happened in the last, like, I'm going to say 3 months, all of this shit.
Yeah, I know. I just find it hard to catch up with this vlog squad shit. But what I will say is that, like, we saw Trisha going out with the likes of Sean, and, like, it was kind of a bit of a jokey relationship. Like, you know, I didn't fully believe in it. But when you saw her with Jason, you were kind of like, okay, that makes sense. He's, like, of her age. He's a vlogger as well. You know,
they seem very like in each other's lives,
very quite natural together as well.
I don't know, I was never really bought
not in the sense of their love, but like, you know, I got it like,
yeah it made more sense,
you know, it made more sense from like Sean. I was like, what?
And like
fuck?
Trisha Paytas has famously always said she only dates older men, you know, so it was kind of like, oh, okay, this could work for her. It's an older YouTuber who's going to get her job. Before that, she was kind of going out with people who like didn't really want to be on her Instagram,
yeah,
and all the rest. So they have a very on and off relationship. Trisha is a lot of the times in this, in the vlogs, while the butt of a joke. They would always call her a slut. They would always call her like, she was kind of known as like the slutty one, which she says was kind of consensual. She was like, I was aware it was a bit. It was like, everyone played a character. You know, she was like, she was always like, I'm fine being the butt of the joke when it comes to like my only fans or whatever. She's like, that was fine. But there was one joke that I'm gonna have to like speed through some of it because, like, you know, I can't go into every aspect, but there was one joke that always really triggered Trisha, she said. And this is when she started to talk out about the vlog squad after her breakup with Jason, and the breakup was because of this fight. David Dobrik, before Trisha was going out with Jason, David set up this video of Jason going on a date with Tana Mojo, who had just turned 18, which is really weird. Jason Nash at the time was a 44-year-old man. And Tana didn't know it was going to be a date. So they met up, and then there was this whole thing, and like there was a video made about it. And Trisha obviously later after the fact found out about this, and she was just like, maybe really uncomfortable. Trisha has talked about multiple times how she felt really taken advantage of and groomed as a young teenager and overly sexualized, and how she kind of talks about how that has affected her mental health and affected her relationship with men. And she's always talked about that really openly. So when this was constantly being joked about and brought up around her, she didn't appreciate it. And David then kept bringing up this joke, saying like on the vlog when Trisha was there and when she wasn't there, he'd ask Jason like, when are you going to have a threesome with Tana? When are you going to have a threesome with Tana? Which is annoying because it's like overly sexualizing Trisha just because she's like also a sex worker, being like that she's open to having like a three-way with her boyfriend and a fucking 19-year-old girl who she doesn't even know. And also bringing up someone from Jason's past that she knows they've kissed, and like she knew there was some sort of weird shit going on there. And she said that behind the scenes, she kept telling David like, please stop joking about that. Like, I'm fine with you calling me this. I'm fine with that. This is my...
Trying to preserve boundaries.
You know, and Trisha's been in the game a long time, you know, that way she's no pushover really. And she was like, stop it, stop it. Anyway, it came to a head when there was one vlog where he didn't tell Trisha was in the house something, and he came in and he made the joke again, and Trisha, you can just see her in like the video, she's just like staring, and I'm like fuming. And then apparently when the filming was over, he was like, he hid Tana in a room or something and brought her out and was like, Tana's here for the three-way, and like Trisha's just like, for fuck's sake. Apparently after this video,
so not only did he stop telling it, he like made it into like a more,
oh, he made it an ongoing bit,
yeah,
in the video,
yeah.
And like, yeah, then made it like real. And then like, it was annoying her because Jason was playing along with it because they were all so desperate to be on the vlog, and it's all about appeasing David and David's vlog. And Trish is just like, as I said, she's been in the game for so long. Like, she
didn't
like,
need them.
She's like the share of YouTube. She's just like, I don't need the fucking vlog for relevancy. Like, she's always going to be relevant on YouTube, to be honest. So they broke up after this. She asked David not to put up the vlog. The vlog was put up. And since then, Trisha has always spoken about how there was a lot of weird shit going on in this vlog squad. She's always mentioned she outed one guy who was 25 going out with a 17-year-old. She was like, you know, she was like, this is the standard of behavior there. They all excuse it. She's like, they all are saying like, oh, but what's the difference between 6 months and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, the difference is that like she's illegal, blah, 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 blah. All this kind of shit. And she's always kind of alluded to different instincts where she was like, shit's gonna come out about them. She's always said it. Like, there's videos of her 2018 being like, David Dobrik is a monster. He manipulates people. Like, the pressure for his vlog makes people do things that they don't want to do. She's always said this. Now, in the past, Trisha is also like, has a really like chaotic career on YouTube because she's had multiple mental breakdowns, three of which came after her breakup with Jason. She tried to take her own life three times. She was 5150, which has been taken into involuntary hold in a mental institution. And she,
so sad.
And she always talks about how it was these, because she's recently been diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, which has a lot of its roots in being abandoned, and, you know, various other aspects. And she always kind of says that, like, they, being in that group triggered her so much. Like, and I mean triggering a real aspect, you know, not mm-hmm. like I'm triggered, like literally triggered like psychotic episodes in her mental health, you know. And she always is like, you know, I was the saddest when I, just after that relationship and leading up to the breakup, like Jason also kept her secret for 3 months, but then basically said, David won't let me go out with you anymore, then never spoke to her again. Like, really crazy shit. But because she's so transparent online, she's never really been seen as like a viable or believable source of information, which is frustrating.
Why do you think that is? Because that's so like I know. Hypocritical.
I know. Well, I think a lot of it is she was gaslit so much in the relationship, in the sense that the people are just like, you're crazy, you're just like insane, blah, blah, blah. And mm-hmm. that would probably, because of her, you know, mental health. And
she probably had to catch up with what happened.
Yeah.
Especially like, if she was so triggered, because like, that's usually a post-traumatic thing, you know, like mm-hmm. you're not noticing as you're going through it. She was probably just trying to like keep her head above water mm-hmm. during like that relationship and absolutely. Trying to just like maneuver through it. He obviously had kids that she was also like,
he had two kids and she was constantly like the wife of these kids. You know, she would always be like, Trisha always says like how hypocritical it was. She was like, Jason's ex-wife wouldn't let the kids hang out with Trisha, but she was totally cool with Jason living with two 23-year-olds, bringing back girls, banging them and doing coke all the time. She was like, I was like more than willing to be like not a mother figure, like just like grand with the kids. She's like, she wouldn't let me like do anything just because I had an OnlyFans account, which is like whatever, your own like opinion, but like then to also be like, but it's cool for my kids to be in a house with two other vloggers who have girls. Like, she was like, we could hear them fucking girls next door in our bedroom.
I mean, it seems like their relationship is doomed from the start for so many different reasons, which is, can be frustrating when you like get on with someone, mm-hmm. but that's toxic in the sense of like, you can get on with someone, but when there's all this white noise and like you guys aren't able to like work as a partnership mm-hmm. through that.
Mm-hmm. So fast forward a couple of years, Trisha is now engaged to, if anyone watches the H3 podcast, who are also like OG YouTubers, she is engaged to Ela Klein's brother Moses, which is just a whole other story of how the fuck that happened, but it's iconic. She has a podcast called Frenemies with Ethan Klein, which is so entertaining. You should all watch it from the start. Even like, it's just, and it's just brilliant podcast. It's so good. It's probably one of the biggest podcasts on YouTube at the moment. Like, it's really popped off. And she ended up bringing to light one day that she has like disdain towards the vlog squad. And it came up because Ethan was like, I have nothing against David Dobrik. And she was like, David Dobrik is a trash person. And he was like, really, why? And she basically opened the floodgates to, little beknownst to her, but it's so juicy just seeing someone finally getting vindicated. You know, that way of like something that she has been saying. And like, she finally found someone who is, Ethan and Ela Klein are very trusted on YouTube. Like, they would have a very good reputation. Like, they've had controversies 100%, but like, they would be like known to be quite impartial and like kind of neutral. They're not really ever involved in problematic.
It's also amazing to see, which we have in the past year, see Trisha move from, or like, you know, just transcend from being like this problematic, silly bimbo bitch or whatever. And like, they were saying, like, leaning into the like, allowing herself to be called a slut, which is like whatever, again, that was consensual. But now, since the Shane Dawson thing as well, that mm-hmm. was like a big arc for Trisha, where we saw her actually be respected and valued and needed, mm-hmm. which we weren't seeing.
And now her and Shane are donezo. Fair play to her. That guy is trash. I truly am off
Dawson.
Trash human being.
Wow.
Trash. And that was another thing that came out via Frenemies. Like, really incredible stuff has been exposed on this podcast. She ended up, you know, talking about the vlog squad kind of stuff. They're on their own podcast. She brought up one instance of the vlog squad where there was a guy who was a new member of the crew, so who, again, would be quite wanting to get on the vlog and all blah blah blah. And David set up this prank where he was like, he was like, oh, Seth, would you make out with Corinna? And Corinna's like the hot girl of the group. Like, she's really good looking. She's mm-hmm. a Twitch streamer. And he was like, would you make out with her if she was wearing an old man outfit? And he was like, yeah, cool. So he goes, okay, Corinna, go change into the outfit. Corinna goes in, changes into the outfit, comes out. And then she goes, oh, I have to pee. Goes back in, changes the outfit with Jason, a 45-year-old man. He comes out and Seth is tricked into snogging on camera Jason for like a good 35 seconds.
And what age is Caesar?
Seth's like 22, 23. But like, that's that's so unconsensual. So he ends up coming on the H3 podcast and like being like, I was sexually assaulted. Like, he fully says the words. He's like, I was sexually assaulted. This made me, he was like, he knew, first of all, there was also a racial aspect to it. He was like, and they talk about it on a podcast. David to Jason is like, it's so funny as well because Seth is from Compton and that is just not accepted in the black community in Compton. So we knew he was going to get slated. It's like, that is so dark. This came out and then Trisha on her TikTok kept mentioning that there's going to be some article written. An insider wrote an article about another vlog that she always meant or talked about where a sexual assault again happened. I'll link the article in the description. You guys can read it for yourselves. But it was basically a setup of that David did. He had this other guy in his vlog called Dirty Dom, who was like kind of, that was his character. He was this dirtbag riding girls all the time. Really gross stuff. I remember even watching this when I was 17, in 2017, being like, how the fuck is this okay? Like, mm-hmm. the way that they were like approaching sex and sexuality and women, and even in David's vlogs, the women are always the butt of the joke. Like, you know what I mean? It's always like the slut, the this, the that. Like, women are nothing else but like whore. He basically has a Madonna horror complex, I think. It's really bizarre. And he set up for these, like, he was like, we're going over to Dirty Dom's house to have an orgy. And like, Dirty Dom is there, and then five or six girls come into this room, and you hear one of them going, no offense, but I don't know who any of you are. And then Jason's like, get out. And it's a big bit. And this girl alleges that that night David set up for a member of the vlog squad to get first of all, he set up this to happen because he was like, who wants to meet David Dobrik? That was the lure. So they were all like, bar one, they were all fans of David Dobrik. So they all come to this house, then they're told that they're meant to have an orgy with your man Dirty Dom. In the vlog, there's a bit where David Dobrik goes, and after, he goes, it got to a point where we all knew there was no orgy going to happen, but after some master negotiation, the girls go in the room with Dom. And it's like, huh? The girls in the article say that basically David asked for another member, because he will never do the dirty work, to buy them all alcohol. They end up getting so shit-faced. And again, you can read the details because they are quite intense details. So I won't rattle them all off here. But basically like that rape happened and a sexual assault. And this guy, Dirty Dom, David Dobrik facilitated it, and he knew about it because months later, the girl texted David Dobrik, I think, or Dom, and he showed David Dobrik this text basically being like, you assaulted me that night. What happened was not consensual. You have to take that video down, blah, blah, blah. So like, he covered it up as well. And this is being like, this is like blowing.
So this is what's coming out.
This is like, but like all aspects are so like weirdly intertwined, you know, that way. And this is blowing up. David Dobrik has lost so many sponsorships. He's lost so much. He has had to step down from like his app that he has. And he released this like apology video. There's been so many fucking apology videos
from
it.
So me as someone who like, you know, is on the periphery of all as I'm not like a massive consumer of content. But this was when it really hit like the kind of mainstream, because
Times wrote about it.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, wow. So I sat down and watched this apology, and what irked me about it was, you know, the first one he stopped comments. So,
oh yeah. He was like, the video was called Let's Talk, and he muted the comments. Everyone was like, and it was 2 minutes long. He was like, hey guys, just so you know that.
Yeah.
And he's like, consent's really important to me. Bye.
And basically like, just, this is like when whilst we have kind of like, you know, templates for virality or vlog squads, or we also now have templates of how to get away with shit, which is kind of dark, because we're seeing constantly people, you know, go through these like crazy times where they're like being trashed online on Twitter or whatever, and then you can see, okay, that's how they got out of it. We're seeing so many of them, so now it's kind of like teaching people how the fuck to get away with being a cunt. So it was like he had gone to woke crash class, and then went on and gave this apology and was kind of like, of course, there are times when I reflected upon woke, like these like little words and sound bites that we're so used to hearing that like don't have much weight to them, or when you kind of like scratch the surface, you're like, okay, you don't, there's no foundation in what you're saying. It's kind of like that saying, you know, it reminds me of when we saw Piers Morgan fighting with that dude at the Weatherman, and you know, Piers Morgan was like, well, factually, Archie wouldn't have been given a title regardless of his race, but because of like something that Henry V said back in 1970, whatever. And he goes, yeah, but it was her lived experience that she felt, you know. So it's these words where we're hearing like lived experience or like da 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 that aren't actually, have no, they don't make sense. Mm-hmm. But it's like,
or my truth. That's a pet peeve. My truth. Because there's no such thing as my truth. There's my experience and the truth.
Yeah.
Like you can have an experience 100%. You can be like, hear my perspective, but it's not my truth. It's not, there's only one truth, yeah. The truth.
Like say if you have an argument with a boyfriend and you were upset with something and it's like, okay, I was upset. It's like, there's, it doesn't mean that someone is like exactly responsible for that, because we all have different like absorptions of being, yeah, like how we take things. So like, it's kind of like offense is basically now seen as doing something illegal in a sense, in the kind of like social sense. But so that's when it kind of, when it gets tangled into something illegal, that's, yes, what's fucking difficult with the online virality in terms of like hate and cancel culture, because like we're mixing in and we're muddying like someone mouthing along the N-word to a TikTok song to someone raping someone in a vlog, or, yeah, you know, and it's the same level of hate towards these people. It's the same noise. It's the same anger. It's the same amount of people.
Well, weirdly, because probably it is, there's also, you know, it's harder to prove, but weirdly, like the more likely something to go viral is someone saying something wrong or
something light,
you know, something, as you said, like someone making an honest mistake, maybe out of naivety or out of lack of education on a topic. But a lot of the time the stuff that doesn't go as viral is something like this, is like an actual criminal offense. And that's why I think it's just so juicy to see, especially because for me it's also like, as someone who's followed Trisha Paytas for so long, and I know like a lot of our listeners also do as well, like it is so nice to see someone who has been like constantly gaslit, constantly being made out to be this hysterical, crazy, like if you follow Trisha, you know she's actually a really intelligent person. She's really smart. She has so many, like throughout like everything, she has so many references of pop culture. Like she's a pretty well-read and well-rounded human being, but who obviously has a mental illness or, you know, mental health issues.
Or had a traumatic past.
Absolutely. You know? And she did. Like, she's even spoken about like how, you know, she's done a lot, started to do a lot of therapy for, because like with borderline personality disorder and a lot of personality disorders, there's no medication you can really take for that. It is through a specific type of therapy that you can only really get through it. It's all about managing it rather than curing it. It's not like depression where you can take an antidepressant, you know, that way. It's like it's a way more complicated and under-researched kind of area of mental health and mental illness. So she's gone to so much therapy, and you know, she's undercovered a lot of stuff from like her past. And you know, I think she's someone who has been, you know, cancelled or whatever the fuck you want to call it, for making honest mistakes in the past. And she always says it, she is right. She's like, I always own up to it. You know, she's like, I take accountability, I apologize. You know, she was like, and I apologize in the now. She's like, I'll do it one day, get like backlash, and I apologize the next day. She's like, there's none of this hiding it for 3 years bullshit and then being like, hey guys, I want to talk about something real quick, you know, that way. And she made such a good point as well. I think she was like, about David Dobrik's apology, she was like, he's saying it's not about money, but like he made this apology. He tried to like squash the apology by doing that 2 minute video before he lost any sponsors. He then lost a lot of sponsors. He then had to step down from this app that he's making all this shit, lost a lot of money basically. And it went really mainstream. Then did a video. She was like, if it wasn't about money, like do a Logan Paul on it. When Logan Paul made that really offensive video in the suicide forest, she's like, at least when he came back with his apology, he donated $1 million, which is such a flex, to a suicide prevention thing. You know, that's just showing it's not only about money. Whether you believe that or not from Logan, like, you know, you can't fight someone giving money to charity. She was like, why didn't David at least give like anything? She goes, and he also made the video and said, I'm going to be reaching out to people. It's like, make it after, like do some good service.
Well,
in
that's
your
another
own
vague term.
Yeah.
To people, what, you're going to text someone and be like, hope you're okay, hon?
Yeah. And he also said, I'm going to make myself available to victims. It's like, they don't want to talk to you, babes. Like, if I was raped by your friend, I'm not going to be like, hey David.
That also like, sounds like borderline predatory to me.
I know.
Like, I'm going to make myself available to the vulnerable who I fucked over.
Literally. How self-absorbed do you have to be that you want to be like... And then Jason was fucking texting Trisha being like, hey, call me back, heart. She's like, I have not heard from him in 3 years.
Whoa.
He's like, she's like, he texted me being like, hey, just tried to call you. Because she said she got a call, but she was like, that can't be him. And then he texted her with a heart. And she was, and then she goes, and then I ignored the text. And then he DM'd me being like, hey, that was me. Can you talk to me? And she was like, whoa, this guy is so fucking manipulative.
That's like, so manipulative and so gaslighting to be like, let's just pretend that we just have the same narrative.
Yeah.
Like, heart, remember?
Yeah, heart. Remember we lived together? Remember very I dumped weird. You because my best friend told me to? What the fuck?
I mean, a blessing in disguise.
I know. It's just such a crazy fucking story. But like David Dobrik, he really has always given me the ick. And like, I mean, I hope he can
gives
like
me Andy Warhol vibes. Like, you know, when you look back at Andy Warhol, who he was the similar kind of like, he wasn't, you know, doing a lot of these things, but providing the space for it and like capitalizing off other people's downfalls in a way.
I now, guess
I love like, his art, but like I do think he was apparently a dark person. And I think if Andy Warhol was today,
I think where, yeah,
like I love Andy Warhol in the sense of like he predicted basically where we are now mm-hmm. in terms of pop culture. But you know, I think there was something about him which I find the whole David Dobrik thing quite complicated in the sense because I think he's such a master manipulator and it's so difficult to kind of pinpoint exactly the arc of the story or exactly what he did. So I think that's kind of what I heard from like Andy Warhol. It was kind of like, oh, it's just a feeling or it's just an energy he puts out there. And I was watching one interview with an older member or a young member from the vlog squad. I can't remember whose name was, but he was saying like there was just certain jokes, like the jokes were so intense and like, you know, the bits were so kind of put people in really bad ways. And he obviously didn't give a fuck about how these people were going to be like taking the trauma of some of these. Like I remember even watching one where like Jason was gifting Trisha a dog and it was just like almost violent in the sense of like she was on the floor and she had something over her head and then like the dog was like put on top of her. It was just like she's thinking is it going to be a bunch of snakes, like,
and they did that to someone.
Yeah,
they did that to, I watched that was one. It Madison Beer or one of those girls, or Livy, was it? No, it was Emma Chamberlain, I think. And they like lay her down and they were like, Luda, and they put like a snake in her, knowing that was like her biggest fear. Yeah. Like, it was really weird. And like, there are, of course, you can have funny prank videos, and they always had this weird idea as well. But they, when you look at any of them talking about it, they're like, it's like SNL. It's like SNL. And Trisha was like, it's not though, because on SNL, you have a script and you're an actor.
Like, yeah, but regardless of the platform, and I think that's like not the point. I think the point is actually like, when does it go from being a prank to being like just bullying and just like put, you know, like one person being the butt of the joke while everyone else is laughing, but one person is traumatized and has maybe lasting times of like triggering. Like I know, you know, it's like it can like go.
Big Nick, do you hear about his story in the vlog squad?
No.
So he is a guy again who was taken by David Dobrik under his wing. He was a viner, but he has like a type of dwarfism. So he's like a little person and they called him Big Nick, which again is a joke. But he was basically saying that like he left the vlog squad because like he'd be walking down. They would all make like little person jokes to him. And he said like he'd be walking down the street in LA and like there'd be kids like screaming like, hey, you fucking whatever, you know, like slagging him, like the way that it was accepted in the vlog. So that transpired into his real life. And he was like, I was fine having a bit of a joke in the vlog, but he was like, it got to a point where like, I realize what I'm putting out there is that like, it's fine to like point and laugh at people on the street because of like certain, like, I don't know, genetic abnormalities.
I mean, is it the same as Jackass? Like, I'd like to see how some of, you know, like we saw Wee Man, you know?
At least with that, it was like, you know, the thing that David Dobrik did say in his apology video, which I was like, if he means this, this would make more, it would be a better, it would be a good way for him to move on for his career. He said like when he comes back, he wants to have like actual like HR and stuff in place. And that's something that even in like, if you look at something like Jackass, yes, they were all friends and they're pranking, but like they have a structure like MTV over them with like HR departments and unions and contracts and all that. But that just doesn't exist in YouTube. It's still very new. So it was just a group of fucking kids pranking each other with no repercussion. And if they had a problem,
I disagree with that though, in the sense of like, because then you look at the type of Weinstein, when things get bigger and there's more, there's always going to be someone on top. So just in the case of the vlog squad, it was David Dobrik on top, and he had the kind of money, the power, the connections. And I mean, I don't think there's a formula. I think it's just like,
well, there would be, because if you are, if it is a professional kind of setup. Say, for example, say me and you had a lot of interns, right? And they were all listeners of the podcast. If they had a problem with us, it would be very intimidating for them to come to us and complain about us to us. But if you are making a professional setup and you have a HR person who is a neutral person, anyone who has a problem with the higher up, they can go to that neutral person. It's not about someone being like higher up. It's not really like, you know, about that David wouldn't be the leader. It's just that if he had a neutral ground for people who weren't, you know, on paper are employees to a, in a way, it that helps protect people. And that's why HR departments are there, because I fucking worked in some place without HR, and let me tell you, fucking hell, terrible.
I think in a sense, but then I think like we've seen this kind of bullying tactics in places where those, like I said, Weinstein, like, you know, there's always cover-ups, regardless of the layers of kind of protection. And I mean, I saw in Jackass as well, there was that dude, I can't remember his name, but he was the one who was always shitting. And I remember seeing an interview with him where he kind of felt like, you know, I remember watching Jackass as a fucking kid and being like, Johnny Knoxville gets like the cool shit, like he gets like the stunts, but he doesn't have to like
humiliate himself
to the point where he's shitting through a fucking paper mache volcano, you know. Or like Steve-O was put in like different positions, and like I feel like as well sometimes they kind of you know used people's addictions in a way against them, where like Steve-O was obviously like fucking strung out or whatever the fuck he was on, and he was like pushed to the extreme of doing like really kind of barbaric things to himself. So I mean, I think regardless of like, I think it's the idea of humans bullying each other and humans kind of like
for content
fun.
Especially
like, I love comedy that kind of, you know, I love to watch comedy like Mickey Flanagan, Kevin Bridges, who everyone's able to enjoy it, no one's the butt of the joke, it's more observational in the sense of, you know. So I think that's the kind of idea of like, when does it go from prank to just like bullying and like subjecting one person to like, and it's not a fun time,
totally,
really,
and, you know? And it shows that like, you know, in the least like damaging way someone like, and which isn't small at all, let me just say, but like in the least damaging way, it is someone like Big Nick being pointed at and laughed at down the street. But at the, you know, at the most violent and kind of like serious end, where that is normalized so much, it kind of shows you what it can end up with. Because what you have there is like a pinnacle of a video where David was using his like social status to get these girls in. They had this character, Dirty Dom, and the whole bit, as they would call it, would be him having a orgy. And when that kind of came up that it wasn't going to happen, they used like they like manipulated girls into being in a situation with alcohol. Like, it's so dark and so nefarious,
and so it shows how far it can go. So totally. I think in order, I don't think we need to like expand like the HR, I think we need to extract and see like what are the roots of the problem. It's kind of like, you know, when to lighten it up and to finish off, you know, when you start going out with someone and or like guys, this is not even when you start going out with someone, when you have like a boyfriend, I think it's usually like mainly like guys to girls. And me and my sister were talking about this the other day, when, you know, guys love doing it. You'll go to the bathroom, they'll jump out every time you come out of the bathroom.
Yeah,
that can then kind of like get too much for someone. You can just be like, I'm really tense around you, and I just prefer, like, I know it's a fucking joke, I know it's like lol, and you get my reaction on camera or whatever the way that they do. Like, sometimes it's just like, can you stop? And it's that like a little things of like asserting boundaries and see how people respond to small boundaries. And that's the fucking thing about like manipulation and gaslighting and all that, because it's like you obviously don't notice it when it's something so small. So I guess with David Dobrik and all the Vlog Squad, it was like they started off small and they just gained notoriety. They gained like so much. So it was just like everything expanded, including the kind of those actions and stuff. So it's like a load of stuff. That's what's difficult, I think, about the Vlog Squad, because it's like,
and all of those structures.
Yeah, totally. There's not like one, oh, all you have to do is just do this or do that, you know. It's like I think it's a whole load of things. Like, why do humans love watching people being spooked or people falling or people being humiliated? Like, you know, it's fucking weird, but it's amazing either way to see shit come out and people be held accountable. And like when you're talking about what's his name, your man with the suicide thing, with the suicide,
Logan Paul,
like when you're saying that, like, regardless, obviously he didn't, like, you know, he still did that, but he was, had the responsibility of being out a fucking $1 million, you know? So there's that kind of, there's one and thing, like, sitting down for 2 minutes, making an apology video.
And I think, you know, I do really think that when you are someone who is like super, I mean, rich, and David Dobrik has profited millions upon, like he lives in this crazy $9.5 million mansion, you know what I mean? And when you are also, by the way, a vlogger who has made content buying people Teslas, and he buys people all these extravagant gifts for videos. So it's like, the least you can do is like, it is a way of paying reparations, I do feel, mm-hmm. in a sense, you know, that way. Like, I mean, obviously you and I did an episode of It Girls 3 years ago about consent, which was like completely uninformed, et cetera, et cetera. And since then we have made it our business to pay money back to the Rape Crisis Centre. And that to me is like a very like tangible way of being like, now at least I'm helping someone to make up for that fucking shit show. So like,
and we're not saying like, oh, people talk to us. Like, he's basically asking victims to kind of describe their trauma so he understands it.
It's like, I'm not trained to do that. Go to these people and I'll help fund them in my whatever way I can. But also, it's like David Dobrik, the least you could fucking do, and I think the least that anyone can do, especially like when Logan Paul did that, it's like, yeah, at least that will actually help. That could help someone. You were funding a suicide prevention hotline or whatever it was, that if someone was feeling in some way, you know, down or whatever it is, they could ring a phone and hopefully be able to talk to someone who can help them. Not, I'm going to talk to David Dobrik. Like, stop trying to talk to these people, David Dobrik. Go to therapy.
Yeah.
Why are you such a megalomaniac?
I can imagine him being the kind of dude to capitalize on it and be like, this is me. My next video is me sitting down and talking to someone who is like,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, he's a fucking dark dude.
He's just someone who got away with something for so long. And like,
he's a dark dude who's like dressed as like this really fun, easy guy.
I know. Which is, Ethan Klein always made a point that I was so happy he made, because I was like, I thought I was the only one who fucking realized this. He always smiles with his tongue out like this.
Oh my gosh, like a dog.
Like a little dog. I think it's like to make him look like a puppy dog. Like a little cutesy, patootsy.
Probably.
Like, and if he also
knows, may not even subconscious, like that could be subconscious, which is
And
creepy.
Also like on his vlogs, he doesn't drink. And Ethan Klein said that as well. He was like, there's always something weird about the guy who is like, you know, sober, but like will happily hang around people who he gets drunk and films them. That's fucking weird.
That's really weird.
And he's always like, come on, let's get drunk. Let's get drunk. It's like, you're not drinking.
That's so fucking weird.
And there was like people in the vlog squad who like, he was 100% like getting like shit faced. It's so bizarre.
And he doesn't drink in general.
No, he's sober. I don't think he's ever drank. Maybe, I don't know. I remember that was his thing. He's like, I don't drink. Like, he's like a big kid. Like in his house, he has like a, you know, like a water fountain, but it's Kool-Aid.
Oh. Ouch. I'm like, I'm uncomfortable in my body.
And he's like, there's a video and he's like, look at this, guys, look at this. And you know, like the ones in school where you press a button and you go down.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like that, but red comes out of it. He's like, it's Kool-Aid. It's like, you're 25, 6?
I watched one like Vogue morning routine where he was talking through his morning routine and he was like, I'm in the shower and for some reason I have to like collect the water in my hand, like I cup my hands together and it has to make like a really dense splash before I can get out of the shower. It's like, he has these weird little
compulsions,
ways. I think more so like ways to kind of like get into people. I do that.
Oh yeah, relatability shit.
It's weird. Dark. I was like, because all the comments were like, oh my God, the most relatable thing I've ever heard in my life much. What is going on with the world? Stop the world. I need to get off.
Okay. On that note, we'll be stepping up off our little soapbox. thanks so much for listening, girls, and we'll be back
next
week.
Sign up to X Girls.
New episode on Friday. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.